We'll continue our series on choices that we make. This morning we're going to look at choosing to let go. You'll take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Just going to look at two verses today. Verses 13 and 14 of Philippians chapter 3. It says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." Very good verses. Been very, very helpful to me. Today we're going to look at how God teaches us to view our past and how we can use it, so how he can use it to make us trophies of his grace. I'm afraid that many folks struggle with guilt and pain from their past. Baggage that is real, and it can be very heavy. Fortunately, God gives us the resources to release the past and press forward into the future. And the only way we can do that is by the power of his grace. I don't know if you ever went to a carnival as a kid, but do you remember having fun with the mirrors that distorted your appearance? We used to have fun with that. One mirror might make you look tall, another short, and another extremely fat or skinny. But now, as grown-ups, we realize that we can get a distorted view of our lives. But only now, instead of realizing that our view is false and distorted, we begin to accept what we see. And I don't think that's what God intended for us. Today, as we look into the mirror of God's Word, I'd like you to consider two things this morning: how God sees us, and to view our past and the impact it has on us today. As Christians, we so easily allow our circumstances and other people, and I wrote here, even our perception of what others think, to define who we are. A proper perspective only comes when we choose to define ourselves by what God says is true. And we're going to look at that this morning. Many homes have an area where family can store keepsakes, seasonal decorations, children's school awards, and I put in then some. We have an attic in our house, and Jean and I, actually, not too long ago, we cleaned that attic. And you know, as we clean stuff out, and it's like, what? Why did I save this? I have no idea why I saved that. We made many trips to Goodwill, and we made several trips to the dump, cleaned that attic out. But you know, although we don't all have physical attics, each of us has a mental attic where our past is stored. It's called our memories. And within this mental attic are storage bins that represent a timeline of our past. You think about it, there are bins we like to revisit, memories of joy and fulfillment, but there are also bins of failures, disappointments, and rejection, and actually you can add hurts to that. These can come back to haunt us to the point that we feel unacceptable and unusable. I've had several folks in the past tell me that they were so bad off and they've done so much in their past, there's no way God could use them. That's sad. You know, every one of us has things in our past that we wished had never happened. I was going to make a little list, and you know what? The list goes on and on and on. But you know the things that haunt you. You do. The things that get you down. Think of your metal attic as a timeline of your life. It's all there, and there's no changing it. It's already history. But have you ever known someone who is controlled by their storage? They cling tightly to everything that comes into their lives, and they refuse to part with it. Soon, their treasures overflow their storage places and piles into the living places of their home, restricting everyday activities. I actually have a real-life example of that. When I worked with Faith Indeed, we did a lot of home repairs for folks, and it was my job to go into the home and assess the situation and how we could help them. I went into this one home. They wanted smoke detectors. And I went in the kitchen, which was kind of normal, and she said, you got to talk to so-and-so, and he's in the living room. She said, can you hear the games playing? And I said, yeah, I can hear it. In the living room, it was stacked to the ceiling. That's no lie. And there was little pads everywhere, pads to the bathroom, pads to the bedrooms. It was stacked with junk. And I tried to explain to the guy that smoke detectors would never, I don't even think we could get them on the ceiling. There was no room. But this guy, they just hoarded everything, just everything. And you know, that is what some of us allow the memories of the past to do to our lives. We let them control us. While it is true we cannot change what has happened in the past, it is possible to reduce the influence and the control that it has in our lives right now. Which brings me to the second point in your sermon outline on the back of the bulletin, forgetting. Turn, if you would, with me to Acts chapter 8. I read a cute joke this morning about Acts, but I guess I'm not going to share it with you. Acts chapter 8. You know, if anyone in Scripture could have felt self-rejection because of his past, it was the Apostle Paul. Think about it. Paul literally murdered Christians. He tore apart families, hauling men and women off the prison, and he turned people in for torture. Look at verse 3 of chapter 8. For as Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Then look down at chapter 22. Just flip over a couple pages to chapter 22, if you would, please. Verse 4 and 5. And Paul says, and I persecuted this way unto death. That verse, that word way is Jesus. You could write Jesus in there. He persecuted Jesus unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters from the brethren. Excuse me, I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Think about that. That guilt alone would be overwhelming for anyone to deal with. But Paul had an added burden in that his past was public. He had to deal with other people's rejection of him as well as his own. His past was so openly known that when he came to Christ, other Christians had difficulty trusting him or allowing him to participate in ministry. Flip back to chapter 9, if you would, please. Acts chapter 9. We'll look at verse 26. It says, and when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. Can you blame them? And did not believe that he was a disciple. I think about what Ananias said. God, you really know who that guy was? You want me to go and talk to him? But that's how the people felt, and it's understandable. Yet Paul was greatly used of God. We all know that. He was the human author of much of the New Testament, as well as being an incredible, effective church planting ministry throughout the Roman Empire. How could one with such a past as Paul, become one so used by God. Paul shared the secret to freeing himself from the grasp of the past in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I'm going to read you these verses several times this morning. I hope it gets you. I hope you think about it. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Did you catch Paul's secret? He was to forget the past, to purposefully make a decision to turn his attention from it. He chose to let go. He chose to let go. I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, but wait. How can I forget my past? It's part of who I am. There's no way I can forget my past. And right now you've turned me off and you're not going to listen to another word I said. Don't turn me off. Please listen. Please listen. When Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, he didn't mean that he completely erased them from his memory. That would have been impossible. It's impossible. You can't do that. In fact, much of Paul's past is recorded in Scripture for everyone to see. None of us can or should forget our past in the sense that we pretend it didn't happen. It's part of our lives, and it is unchangeable. But this is important. Please listen to this. Forgetting in this situation isn't a memory lapse. It's a memory release. I hope you get this. It's not a memory lapse. It's a memory release. It's a deliberate choice to release the past grips on our present life. The most helpful illustration to me of forgetting is that of childbirth. When Jean was in labor with each of our three children, she was in a great deal of pain. Trust me, I was there, I know. I actually held her hand. Don't ever do that. You know how on TV they hold their hands and say, I thought she broke every bone in my hand. And it took me like a couple of seconds to get her hand on that nice steel bar. She was in a tremendous amount of pain. And I don't even know why a woman would have a second child after going through that. But that's what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. Each contraction was completely consuming. For someone to try to tell her to forget the pain, just forget it, hon. It's not really happening. Oh, boy. You know, that would be silly. At the time, it was all she could think about. Now it's been quite a few years since my youngest was born, and I'm sure that she still remembers the pain, but there's a big difference between experiencing the pain and remembering the pain. Because the pain of childbirth no longer consumes her when she thinks about it. It's released its grip on her. Here's another important point I'd like you to remember. This is what God wants us to do with the hurts and pains of our past. We can't erase them, but we can refuse to allow them to have control over our lives today. And there's a couple of steps that I'm going to help you with this morning. It's helped me tremendously. And the first step is point three, dealing with the accuser. One difficulty with forgetting our past is that Satan insists on bringing it up. He is so intent on this that one of his titles in Scripture is the accuser. Revelation 12:10, you can mark that down in your notes. The second part of that verse says, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan continually reminds us of our failures and sins of the past, and he calls our futures into question because of it. He says things like, you can't serve God with a past like this. What's wrong with you? you're too far gone. Just forget about it. He's very, very clever, and he's quick to bring these things up into our minds. Perhaps the fact Satan reminds us of our true. You might think, well, yeah, that is true. I did do that. But the conclusion he would lead us to are absolutely false. When Satan brings up a sin in my past, I tell him that, yes, I know it's a horrible, and yes, I wished it had never happened, but I'm not going to let it influence me today. And then I remind myself of how God has already dealt with my past. 1 John 1:9, great memory verse. Satan, I ask God to forgive me, and God faithful and just to forgive my sins. He's forgiven me. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord for that. Hebrews 8:12, three verses I'd like you to memorize. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. I wrote here, so eat that, Satan. Quit bringing that up into my mind. God has already forgiven me of that. I wrote here, mark these down, memorize these verses, and others like them that God brings into your heart and life. However bad our history may be, and all of ours is pretty bad, when you're comparing it to the holiness of Christ, we don't have to cling to its memory. We have enough to deal with in today's world, with today's struggles. Let's commit our past to God's forgiveness and accept his grace for today. Which brings me to point four, forgiving. Paul was able to forget or release his sinful past because he trusted in the Lord's forgiveness. But what do you do with the pain from the past that is the result not of our sin, but of others' infliction? For instance, many Christians have a past, especially through their childhood, that was full of unspeakable pain inflicted by others. These are not our sins that we can release by asking for God's forgiveness. So what do we do with them? You know, someone hurts you at work. Something happened in your life that you're bitter about. How do you take care of those? Well, I found a great example in God's Word, and it's the life of Joseph. If you turn to Genesis 37 with me, Genesis chapter 37, Joseph experienced a past like this. And his example shows that the answer is once again to forget or to release. Genesis 37. Joseph was born into a family already at odds because of jealousy and polygamy. His father chose Joseph as his favorite, but that became more of a burden to Joseph than a blessing. Look at chapter 37, verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph's half-brothers were so cruel to him that they literally sold him into slavery, thinking they were rid of him forever. Look at chapter verse 23 of 37. I'm going to read a few verses here. And it came to pass when Joseph was coming to his brethren, and they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down and ate bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed the Midianite merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. How would that make you feel? Your family sells you off to a bunch as a slave. Think about that. Although Joseph was betrayed, mistreated, and lied about, he made a decision to release his past. As a token of his decision, he named his firstborn Manasseh, which means forgetting. Look at Genesis 41. Flip over to Genesis 41, and we'll look at verse 51 briefly. He says, "And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." As Joseph's story continues to unfold, we learn that his choice to release his past was also a choice to release or forgive his brothers. He forgave them from the pain they had caused him. When Joseph was finally in a position to turn the tables and repay his brothers for their cruelty, he chose instead to provide for and love his family. Look, turn down to chapter 45, if you would, please. Verse 10 and 11. "And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen," he tells them, "and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all thou hast, and there I will nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." Ultimately, God used Joseph to preserve his entire family, and in doing so, he preserved the beginnings of the Hebrew nation. Joseph's decision to choose forgiveness allowed him to see his life from God's perspective. Years later, he was able to explain to his brothers how God had already brought good to all of their lives through the terrible evil his brothers had done to him. Look at chapter 50, verse 20. It says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people." He did. He saved all of Egypt and pretty much all the known world. This one decision let Joseph see God's sovereign hand organize beauty from conflict. Think of what Joseph would have missed if he had bitterly held onto the hurts of his past. How could Joseph forget or release all the wrong done to him? Well, the answer is in point number 5, embracing grace. Embracing grace. God gives us a precious resource to enable us to forgive. It's called grace. God's grace gives us the ability to not only leave the sins or the pains of the past behind, but to become stronger because of the forgiveness and the healing Christ has given to us. Consider how God's grace worked in the lives of those in Scripture. Many of those in the Bible who God used in great ways were men and women with troubled pasts. Here's a name you probably have not heard, Jephthah. Anybody know the story of Jephthah? Good, I'm glad I put it in here. Jephthah had a past out of his control. His mother was a harlot, and his brothers refused to include him in his father's inheritance. Judges 11:2 says, "And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." Of course, Jephthah hadn't chosen his parents, and his brother's grudge was unfair. If you read on in Judges, when Jephthah's brothers needed his skills, apparently he was a pretty good fighter, they didn't hesitate to demand his help. Jephthah could have retaliated in kind and refused to help them. Instead, Jephthah agreed to his brother's request, and the Lord blessed him. Judges 11:32 says, "So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands." If Jephthah had reacted from the wounds of his past, he would have missed an incredible opportunity to see God use him and to bring a great victory. Another example, I know you know Rahab. Rahab had an undeniably wicked past. She was a harlot. Rahab was not the person that we would have chosen as to most likely succeed in the church or the Christian life. She's not who we would have guessed would be used to bring the first victory to Israel's conquest of the promised land. Yet God used her in that very way, and you read about that in Joshua chapter 2. Rahab's soiled past was so unforgettable that even after she came to the Lord, she is referred to as the harlot. Yet she refused to allow her sins of the past to prevent her from the present faith. Hebrews 11:31, and we read this a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to read it to you again. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Each of these had baggage from the past that was real and that was heavy. They could have focused on those elements, and lived in the past continually, replaying the hurt or the shame of days gone by. But if they had done this, they never would have experienced the future God made possible by his grace. Because they put the past behind them, severing the chains of bitterness and guilt, they became triumphant trophies of God's amazing grace. Praise the Lord for that. And God can do that for you as well. He can. He's faithful. So in closing here, I'd like you to turn back to Philippians chapter 3. I'd like to read those two verses again. It says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul, in this verse, underlines his single-minded focus, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago. To describe that focus, he uses the image of a runner in a race who hopes to win the prize. He cannot look back. He cannot cloud his mind with past memories. He strains every muscle in his body to attain forward motion, eyes focused on the finish line. And I think that's a key to what we're talking about this morning. Do you have your eyes fixed on the finish line? Paul forgets or releases the guilt of persecuting the church. He forgets the pain of prison and physical punishment. He forgets the frustration of disobedient church members and false teachers. He looks ahead to see the resurrection, where he will meet Jesus face to face. You know what, folks? If you know Christ as your Savior this morning, you're going to meet Jesus face to face. That's a wonderful thought. It's a wonderful thought. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? That's a decision you need to make for yourself. With this focus, he pursues his goal intently. And what is Paul's goal? To win the prize for God, for which God had called him in Christ. He wants to hear God call his name and summon him to the victory stand, where he will meet Jesus face to face. Paul, determined not to be distracted by anything as he pursued his goal. What's your focus today? Do the things of your past have you all tied up in bitterness and guilt? Has Satan convinced you that you are of no use to the Lord? I hope that's not you today. But one of the greatest verses in the Bible, I say this a lot, is Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Only God can make all things, the pain, the guilt, the impossible, work together for good. When we release our past to the Lord, he does an amazing work. But we have to give it to him. We have to trust him with it. He reaches into the attic of our lives and creates a future wrapped in his amazing grace. Let's receive the strength of the Lord and choose to move into the future he has prepared. We need to choose to let go. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there's one here that's struggling with their past, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts. I pray, Lord, they'd be willing to give that to you, Lord, and let you work in their hearts and lives. I thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the promises of your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you continually work in our hearts and love us more, Lord, than we can ever imagine. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.